Hey everyone, today is Wednesday, April 22nd, and we've been doing these videos now for about a month, and I hope that you're enjoying them, you're not growing tired of seeing me or Pastor Paul on your computer or phone screens or however it is you're watching us. I'm very excited about today's video, so I want you to go ahead and gather up your family, settle in, don't forget to grab a Bible, and when you get your Bible, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to be in verse 16 this afternoon. Colossians, as Paul does in most of his letters, begins with the truths about God. He lays out the love, the mercy, and grace of God before the reader. We see what Christ has done on our behalf, and only after showing us the truth about God does Paul move on to how we should respond. And that's where we're going to find ourselves today in chapter 3, verse 16. Which says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with all thankfulness in your hearts to God." Now follow along with me as we break down this verse and see the four points that Paul makes in this text. First, there's the command to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, this is the only time that the term word of Christ is used in the entire Bible. But given the context, we can assume that Paul is not just referring to the spoken words of Christ while he was here on earth. He's talking about all scripture. It's synonymous with the word of God. Let these things dwell within you. Know them. Meditate on them. And not only a little, but richly. Let them fill you up. Let them dominate your thoughts. The word of God should not be an afterthought. It should not be something that you compartmentalize. It should dwell in your mind constantly. Recently, I've been motivated to memorize more scripture. It's so important for us to know the word of God. We need to know it so that our natural response when we face a tough choice is to call to mind scripture. We shouldn't have to stop and pull out our phone and use Google to look up a question or a verse and then get our Bibles out to read it. We should just know it. We should be able to call it to mind. We need to be familiar with Scripture. We need to be thinking about it. We need to know what it means. We shouldn't just be able to twist Scripture. We need to know what the text is talking about. We need to treat the Word of God for what it is. It is God's revelation to us. It's not a self-help book. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's God showing himself to us. Yes, there are commands in it, things to do and things not to do, but all of that points to God. We need to learn it. We need to know it so that we can know him. Let God's word dwell in you. Meditate on it. That's our first point. The second point Paul makes is that you should teach what you have learned from the word of Christ, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. When you have learned about God, you should pass that along to others, especially within our own families. Parents, it is up to you to teach and admonish your children. Now, there's two things here, teaching and admonishing. Teaching is relatively straightforward and it's very familiar to us. To teach someone is to impart wisdom or knowledge. We are to pass on what we have learned to each other, but especially to those who are younger than we are. Every older generation should pass down the wisdom that they have gained, and every younger generation should readily learn from them. But then you come to admonish, and this isn't a word that we use a whole lot these days, but it carries this idea of a warning and, you know, a call to action. When you see someone going the wrong way, you warn them. It's a strong encouragement to change your ways. Now, if you're a parent who's teaching your child how to drive, you probably do this a lot. You probably warn your child of what's up ahead. You know, watch out for that car, or there's a stop sign coming up. You better slow down. Or maybe they're just driving a little too fast, and you admonish them to slow down. Part of instruction is warning of dangers. And part of allowing the word of Christ to dwell within you is to warn those under your influence of dangers ahead. admonish them, warn them, exhort them in all wisdom. This means that you're not just, you know, bossing people around and giving them your opinion. You point people to the word of Christ. It is not your wisdom, it is God's wisdom. It's things that we have learned from the word of Christ. And so now we come to the third point. And this is where I really want to spend some time encouraging you. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now there's a few different things that we could do here. First, we could spend time discussing the differences between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We aren't going to do that. It is sufficient for us to know that there are different types of songs that are appropriate for Christians to enjoy and to use in worship. The next thing we could do is spend some time talking about what style of music is best to use in worship or what instruments we should use or all of those things. We aren't going to do that either. It is sufficient for us to know that Paul here specifically identifies three different types of songs that are appropriate for Christians to know and enjoy and to use in worship. What I do want to spend our time today is looking at why Paul jumps from teaching and admonishing to singing. What do these things have to do with one another? And the answer is that Paul intends for us to teach and admonish one another by singing these songs. The songs that we sing are tools for teaching. They teach us about God and about our relationship to God. The best songs are not the ones with the catchy tune that gets stuck in your head all day or that sound great on the radio. The best songs are the ones that teach us clearly about God. Now, I'm not trying to say that those other things don't matter. Good poetry and good music matter. They're helpful in our singing. It's incredibly difficult to sing songs that have bad music or bad poetry and they just don't flow well. But we have to understand that first and foremost, our songs of praise that we sing to God, in addition to giving praise to God, teach us about God. And that's vital in praising God. We don't praise God very well if we're not understanding the words that we're singing. Every time we sing a hymn or a worship song, we are professing truths about God. That's why our corporate worship time is so special. It's when we join together praising God for who He is and what He has done. I'm not a gifted singer. In our family, my sister received all of the musical talent. My brother and I, we can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I still love this time because it's such a blessing and an encouragement to join together in worship with fellow believers, singing these praises to our God. But it's not just the emotional connection that we enjoy when we join together in praise of our great God. There are practical reasons why the Apostle Paul connects teaching and admonishing with singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that is because we remember poetry and music better than we do anything else. Isaac Watts was one of the great hymn writers who ever lived, said, "What is learned in verse is longer retained in memory and sooner recollected." And then he continues by saying that this may prove to be an effectual means to keep off some temptations or to incline to some duty. Learning things well in verse, in song, are helpful in fighting off temptation or in reminding us to do good works. Think about how many songs you can recite from memory. I mean, really think about it. I know it's, you know, think about the song from high school, 20, 30, however long, many years ago it was. How many songs that come on the radio and you just know them? You can sing the whole thing is when you hear the music. I know it's been a while, but think about the last time we were together. If I were to give you two pieces of paper, one of them has the songs that we sang that Sunday, and one of them has the text that Pastor preached from. And your job would be to recreate the words to all the songs and the words to Pastor's sermon. Which of those things are you going to come closer to completing? Now, you might not get all of them. You might not be able to do it perfectly. But are you going to get more of the songs right? Or are you going to get more of Pastor's sermon right? The songs, of course. And this isn't to take anything away from the preaching of the word. It's the preaching of God's word is vitally important. It may be the single most important thing regarding the health of the church. But we cannot underestimate the opportunity we have to teach through song. This is why Jim and I get together and record those videos regarding our worship songs. When we break them down and just talk about what they teach us, it's so that you can be encouraged to consider the meaning of the songs that we sing in worship, so that you will grow to love and cherish them more because of what they teach us about God. Before all this stuff with the coronavirus started and we had to stay home, I listened to podcasts almost exclusively. Some for entertainment purposes, but some to just help me grow. There are several good podcasts out there for church leaders, and I had found them to be very encouraging to me. They gave me a lot of things to think about. It was good. I was growing, but I almost never listened to music. It was almost always a podcast. Even in the car, I'd be listening to a podcast from my phone, not the radio. But now, I'm at home with the boys all day. Have you tried to listen to a podcast or a book or a sermon or anything with someone talking to you with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old running around? Because it's not happening. And in those brief moments where they are sleeping, I need to maximize my productivity. So I can't listen to a podcast and try and focus on that while also, say, preparing this video. So I've started listening to music, and it has been such a blessing. It was almost like I was being reintroduced to it, introduced to it for the very first time. Now, I personally like hymns. I know that not everyone does, but I do. And I've just fallen in love with a few of the new ones that are coming out. There's some great new songs coming out there that teach us so clearly the beauties of our great God. But the ones that I love the most are those ones that celebrate clearly and beautifully the wonderful truths of our God. These songs stay in my mind all day long. They stick with me, even if I wasn't really giving them my full attention, because the music just plants that in my mind. It's such an encouragement throughout today to be reminded of these words of truth about our God. And that's what Paul is trying to show us, is that we can learn, we can teach one another through song. And it's such a blessing that God has designed us this way, that we have been given this gift. And that brings us to the fourth point that Paul makes in this text, with thankfulness to God in your hearts. We are thankful for the Word of God. We are thankful for the gift that it is that we have the Bible, that God has revealed himself to us through it. And we are thankful for the people that God has put in our lives to teach us and exhort us. And we are thankful for the vehicle of song that he has given to us, that there can be great joy that comes from learning truth about God in such a beautiful way. Isaac Watts also said, "There is no greater delight in the very learning of truths in poetry, which can be so amusing and entertaining." We can learn in such a wonderful, fun way. These songs are beautiful, but they are teaching tools. And so here's my challenge to you. And parents, I know you might think that this is a little bit crazy, might feel a little weird or awkward, you might be embarrassed, but I promise you it will be worth it. Gather your family around and sing together. Turn the radio on, or go to YouTube or Pandora or Spotify, or you can even go to the church website and listen to the songs that Jim includes with a sermon each week. Listen to these songs, sing these songs together, and focus on what they mean. Talk about them. Even if you just pick one song to sing this week and just sing that song together, that would be a great start as you learn how to use music as this teaching and instructional tool. And even if you don't have your family at home, even if you're not a parent, you can still do this. You can still pick a song. You can listen to it. You can really listen to the words. Think about what they say about God. Go to your Bible and find the scripture that backs it up. And when you learn something new, celebrate, cherish it, but then share it with someone else. Teach someone and thank God for the beauty that we enjoy in music. We are so blessed that we have a God that loves us and cares for us and teaches us this way. And so that I just pray that you will enjoy the gift that we have in music and that you will use it to learn more about God and to teach others about God. We'll see you next week.